So having seen different approaches as to what is involved in missing a saget, we started with the assumption that it should be a kinyan. We saw a couple of challenges to that, some significant challenges to that. And then we saw the approach, for example, of the ketzos, that it's not about a kinyan, it's about a nesina. We saw others who agreed partially with that and said maybe it's a nesina, but there's a kinyan that happens automatically, or maybe it's a kinyan of a different type. And then we also saw the Rambam yesterday, and Dov Schwartzman's take on the Rambam, that it's even less than that, that somehow the husband has to get the get to her, and that she cannot be taking it on her own, but as long as there's enough to make it that, as long as there's enough to establish it that it's coming from the husband to her, so then it doesn't even really require much of a nesina. And that's what we started seeing also, the Gemara that sounds a little bit like my physical therapy, the tilting back and forth. So if the husband gives a get that way, that he has it tied onto his belt, and he just still tilts it towards her, that could be considered a nesina, even though it was clearly a very low-grade nesina. And we saw that also then tied into other questions of how do we make sure that at least it's something that's connected to him, and therefore the role of Amira in that. So what we need to then just follow through with is that there are practical issues that now develop in terms of the questions that emerge from here. So what are the questions practically? Basically, what kinyanim work for a get? Being that if we're assuming that it's not necessarily about being makne, and if you learn the beginning of Kiddushin, so there it is about being makne, and we learn that there are a lot of different kinyanim that theoretically work for Kiddushin. I say it's about being makne. It's not about being makne her, but it's about creating a kinyan on the relationship. But the point is, there it is defined by kinyan. And therefore, that's our starting point when we talk about Kiddushin. Even so, the Sikhis in the beginning of Kiddushin talk about the fact that some kinyanim don't work for reasons that are specific to each one. So Chalipin doesn't work by Kiddushin. The Rishonim asked, why don't you use the Meshicha, the carrier over the threshold, which should be a Kinyan. So it's actually, the Rashba talks about that, and it's actually one of the important Makoros to make the point that we just made, that in the context of Kiddushin, the Kinyan is not on the Isha. So therefore, a Kinyan like Hagbah, or a Meshicha, of lifting her up, or drawing her in, is basically not going to work, because then the assumption is you're making the kinyan on her, but that's not the nature of the kinyan. Yeah.
So bia
is a different category.
Right, okay.
Right. And that actually parallels what we said the other day about they're all kinyan, because kiddushin involves a kinyan, but the question of what kind of kinyan works. So bia does constitute a kinyan for marriage, but it's one that's unique to marriage. It's unique in its exact definition, but if it's a broader category where it's not unique, that it's parallel to when we talk about karka. So there we say karka is nicknames the kesef shtar, like Yidushin, kesef shtar, but the third one instead of B is chazaka. It's the point that it basically fits that third category, as Achronim explained, that it's a kinyan of acting as if it's already in place. So the same way that's kind of assuming the marriage has already started, So too, chazaka in the house would involve acting as if you already lived it.
It's interesting, the parallel with get, because like get, we said that it's a little bit counterintuitive, because you give her the get in her property, and then she's konet, and then only after that she's able to be konet thing. So it's also like by kiddushin, it's like, oh, once you know you're doing something that's only requires something for marriage, now you're married. So it's like the parallel.
But it fits more because of the value of the get, and part of what we're seeing today also is that it's simultaneous.
Right, I guess also for kiddushin, I guess.
But that's also perhaps saying something. I mean, the fact that the act that gives her independence is contingent on her independence,
which is interesting to develop.
Because the same way that the get itself, we noted maybe there's some kind of a rough parallel there, that the get itself, by providing evidence of itself, effects itself, that because it serves also as a shtar raya, so maybe that's why it works as a shtar kinyan, which is an interesting kind of model. So when it comes to Kiddushin, so theoretically we know that we are talking about a kinyan. But still, functionally, only certain kinyanim make sense. So Kinyan Kesef is the one that we actually use and the one that serves as the representative of the whole process, but we understand that's defined by a Kinyan, and that's essentially what we're looking for. We're looking for a Kinyan to concretize the marriage. So there are some Kinyanim that just don't fit for practical reasons or other reasons. So Chalip in the Gemara says is Kenai, it's a whole sugya in of itself. Meshicha and Hagbah, the Rishonim ask about, and they conclude that it's also not functional because the assumption is that you're being, the assumption behind the question seems to be that you're assuming you're being Kone of the woman. So then you could talk about lifting her up or drawing her in, but that's not the nature of the Kinyan Kedushin, and that's one of the rayas, that Rashba and other Rishonim who asked that question, that's one of the proofs that the Kinyan Kedushin is not on the woman, but rather is on the relationship. So it's being that it's on the relationship, so how exactly do you make that a Dabar HaNiknes, if it's a little more abstract? So here, when it comes to Gittin, so we've seen that you could have thought it's Kinyan related, and you could have thought that it's completely Kinyan independent, having seen now some of these discussions. So what would you think, practically speaking? So if you had to set the rules for what works for a get, knowing they have a whole host of kinyanim, so how would you understand it? And let's say, for example, a kinyan like agav, which means that when you transfer real estate, you can also transfer other things through that, which is one of the things that we use for mechiras hametz, one of the many. So should a kinyan agav work for transferring a get? What's behind that question? Yeah.
Does that count as Vinasan?
Right, so yeah, you're correct.
I'm saying so in the sense that, like, we kind of seem to have an idea that it needs to be, like, physically moved into a property, so just changing the nature of the property, is that the same as handing over?
Right, so essentially, if I understand what you're saying correctly, it's that the fact that you are machne something, you're machne this paper to her through that, is that enough for fulfilling the Nesina by a get? So in other words, the question being, is the Nesina completely independent of concepts of Kinyanim? Or is there any overlap? Or are these just two different worlds? So among the Makoros that I gave you to see, two of the most significant for this purpose are a Bavli with a Rashba in Iran, and also Yerushalmi. So, just to put those two sources on the table. So, regarding the Bavli, so what's the case in the Bavli, as you saw that? What's going on there? Yeah, Eric?
A man is definitely ill, writing, he's writing a get for his wife, and...
Right, because he's concerned about Ibum.
Yeah, and right before Shabbos, he finishes it, but doesn't hand it to her yet. And then Shabbos comes, and it seems like he's about to die, and it doesn't seem like he's going to be able to be able to physically hand it to her before Shabbos ends. They go to Rava, and Rava says, Rava or Rabba? Rava?
Let's look at the Gemara again.
So then Aleph. I don't understand.
So that's Rava.
Rava? Yes. Yeah. They ask Rava, and they say, Rava says basically, she should take ownership of the house the way people usually do by opening the door and closing it and having the chazak on the house that way.
Okay. Very good. So now, what does that mean? How would that help?
I asked the last question before, so now I know. So this is really straight from Rebbe, but...
There's a different question you're asking. But let's assume that that's somehow... Setting aside what other options you could have had. You were asking about what other options you could have. But setting aside that question of what other options there could have been, how does this option help? Open the door of this house.
She takes ownership of the house. Of then I guess Rebbe is mentioning Agav, and through Agav acquires the get.
Okay, so Agav, meaning, by the way, that was a little bit of a red herring when I brought. I mean, not so much a red herring, but I kind of took you down a tricky path. Did you want to comment on that?
I mean, I was just going to similar. You're showing bilos. That's what the point of a kinyan is. You're showing bilos in some way. You're using it in the way, like, you use something in the way of bilos, and then you have ownership over it.
So
by closing open the door, you're showing bilos of the house.
Right, that's a detail, though. So, but the question is still, it should be in one category or another. So what category of a kinyan is being used here? Given that there are many different kinyanim with names, so what kinyan is being utilized here? So essentially, where I kind of led you astray before, is that if you look in the Rashba and in the Ran, so the Rashba gets into it more, the Ran just says it more straightforward, but that you could have thought on the surface that this sounds like a Kenyan Aga. That basically he has this movable object, the get, and he is looking to find a way to transfer it to her without actually being able to physically give it to her. So let's use Kenyan Aga. And again, I mentioned before that we use this for Mechiras Chametz. So it's pretty similar in a sense, actually, because when it comes to Mechiras Chametz, so part of the whole historical development and the challenge of Mechiras Chametz is that once upon a time, in the very old, very basic models of Mechiras Chametz in the first generation before all the upgrades, so it involved one individual at a time who had some defined Chametz packages, and he would actually give it over physically to a non-Jewish purchaser. So nowadays, that generally doesn't happen, and even assuming that we're not necessarily going to our contemporary practices where we're just selling a lot of chametz that's in our houses, but especially in a situation a couple of centuries ago where the Jews who were really pushed to do this were owners of distilleries, they had major chametz alcohol businesses, that was their whole livelihood, and they weren't going to remove all that, it wasn't practical to remove all that to give that to the non-Jewish purchaser. So it became a bigger concern, so how can you work it out that you're transferring the ownership of this chametz material when it's not practical to actually pick it up and give it to the non-Jewish purchaser? Now there's a whole other range of complications because it's a machlokas rishonim whether certain kinyanim that exist, whether they work also when dealing with non-Jews. So that's also a part of it. We're trying to cover all our bases. So when we sell chametz, we use 6 or 7 different kinyanim to make sure that everything is actually being covered. But one of them is agav, essentially for a similar reason, that here you're looking to transfer a physical item, a movable physical item, we call them a tautolin, but it's not practical for you to actually pick up that item and hand it to the person. So if that's the case, so you're looking for another kinyan. So in the context of chametz, we actually transfer land to the purchaser also, and that's a fascinating discussion. The big machlokas, whether we sell the land or we rent out the land, it's got a lot of different dimensions to it. But if we're selling the land, let's say, so then that also opens the door, literally, for a lot of things like that.
It opens the door.
Right, opens the door, exactly, literally, for a Kenyan agav. That you can say, okay, so now I'm selling you this real estate, and together, I'm also being maknet to you physical items in that transaction. So you could have thought that that's what's going on in this story, that he's looking for a way to transfer this item, and it isn't physically possible for him right now, so sell the land and let her acquire it that way. So the Rashba and the Ran, less directly, explain that even though you could have thought that this is a Kenyan Agav, that's not what's going on. But rather, this is a Kenyan Chatzar. Now, from a Kenyan Chatzar perspective, so that is also imperfect, especially according to the view of the Tzos, that you cannot have the Kenyan Chatzar effective when you transfer the Chatzar and the item in it at the same time. And that's what our Gemara had addressed with the concept of Yita v'chatzera v'ayin ke'achad. But the Tzos maintained, if you recall, that that is a concept that's unique to Gittin, and that makes use of the standard for giving a get, which is different than kinyan. So essentially, what it sounds like from the Rashba and the Ran, they don't spell this out necessarily, but this is how some assume that this is what it's getting at, is that
getting at,
there's too many potentials here, that you are transferring the get not through a kinyan agav, but rather through the kinyan chatzar, and not the general Kenyan chatzer that we have by other items, which may have other problems here, but the din that the Mishnah on the staff tells us that there's a way to transfer a get by putting it in her chatzer. And as we saw when we first looked at this, that the notion of putting a get in her chatzer is not because of Hilchos Kinyanin. Right, why does it work to put a get in the wife's chatzer? Right, so help me out here. Why does that work? Yeah.
We said biyada. Biyada is a kind of all encompassing word, meaning her domain.
Exactly. Right. So that biyada, the Mishnah is telling us, and Bavli and Yerushalmi, we know it had slightly different versions of this, but that yad comes to include also things other than her physical hand and her domain, essentially. And we saw there was an interesting discussion. Some of the Rishon HaRashi read, for example, how you saw that from the language of the Pasuk, that you would have thought the Pasuk is telling you the opposite. You would read the Pasuk instinctively as saying, put it in her literal hand. And there, what Rashi said was, if that's what the Pasuk meant, it would have said, b'yada tisnena. It would have emphasized yada. So since it's the other way around, it shows that the Iker is in the Sina. It's not really about her physical hand. So if it's not about her physical hand, then why is that word there at all? So what that word does is it comes to expand what the definition of the hand means. So it comes to include the chatzer. So crucially for our purpose, it means that chatzer in this usage is different than Kenyan chatzer in general. It's not necessarily that you're utilizing a Kenyan chatzer, but rather the concept that chatzer is included in the get receiving options because of yad. So essentially what the Rishonim explain here is that the way this works is he is making the chatzer hers, and because the get can be delivered to her chatzer, so that's what's happening. But it's, what about the sum of the synchronicity of it? Yeah, by git you have such a thing, git to the other boy in keacha. And it's kind of the reverse, but you know, git to the chatzer boy in keacha. So what do you see, and this is something the Achronim focus on, right, what do you see by the need to say that? And again, the Ran is a little bit less obvious about the need, but the Ran also just tells you that this is through chatzer, essentially. So what can you perhaps discern from the fact that the Rishonim are taking pains to tell you that this is a Kenyan chatzer or a chatzer get delivery rather than a Kenyan aga? Yeah, you did.
Maybe it more starkly shows that it's really hers, and that even though she needs to first get the get, that it is at the same time, that it does go into effect at the same time. Because if it was just aga, then it's like, okay, she happens to get the get. It's like, no, like it's all hers, she gets the get, and she gets the chatzer. Right.
So if that makes sense. Yeah, yes, it makes sense, but I think it's more than that, because it seems like there's a greater hechrich to say that
it's like to show that it's actually hers and the get is actually in effect.
But wouldn't the Kenyan Agav also make it actually hers?
But I mean, the Lashon of Agav is like, it's like, oh, and by the way, you have it. It's like, yes, this is more like, oh, you're the full Kenyan Chatzer. This is your Chatzer, you get it.
It's an expression nowadays, I mean, by the way. But
right,
here it's by the way of one Kenyan to the other. So Agav is an effective Kenyan. We're using it for Chametz and Issacharis. So why aren't we
about six other Kenyan?
Right. So, but why are we not assuming that it's effective here? All right.
So, two things that might be probably are connected. So one, maybe it has to be simultaneous, and Agav might give precedence to the requiring of the house, which wouldn't work because wife and the husband own anything. Wife owns is owned by the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it was that chatzer is like based in the Kenyanus of Gittin. And Agav isn't, so like it just doesn't. Again, it comes back to that first point of it would give precedence to the house as opposed to the get, and that just doesn't work in terms of the order. It has to be a simultaneous process.
So that's an interesting point to mention, because that itself indeed would probably see that's more of a problem actually for Kenyan Chatzer, and Agav literally is simultaneous. Mm. Hence the name. So the issue that's at hand here. Is the issue of the hand. Yeah, the other is the issue of the hand. That so what a number of Achronim sees on over here is that maybe a Kenyan Agav wouldn't work. Right? That even though a Kenyan Agav is effective for transferring your chametz, That's because it's a Kenyan. But when it comes to getting, we're not talking about Kenyan. So this becomes somewhat of a battleground point. So even if we accept, right, and almost everyone is forced to accept the perspectives that we saw over the course of the Nasan, so almost everyone was forced to accept that it's not a pure Kenyan process here. Because we saw the problem of Yisurei Hana, that it may be valueless, how can you transact with something that's valueless, that the point of her not having a yad to be kona things, in the normal Kenyan sense. So we had some pretty irresolvable issues with calling the get a Kenyan. And that's what pushed us into other interpretations, like Iksos most famously, that it's about Nesina. But it still leaves open the question that, okay, granted, it's not about being machinate to her, but is there any overlap? Do you still, perhaps, like you might assume, and tomorrow we'll have to say a little more about this, that maybe still, okay, what's happening is a Nesina. But maybe Kenyanim in general should work for a Nesina. And maybe, okay, so you're right, technically speaking, we can't call it a Kenyan. But maybe the way that we make it a Nesina could be through Kenyanim. So let me use a Kenyan and call that a Nesina. So if there is an inhibition against using Agav here, and it's not maybe just a preference, but it might be that Agav literally wouldn't work. It would work to transfer her a piece of paper, maybe, but that would be called giving her a get. So maybe that's the message of that point that Rishon was talking about. So we'll see, we'll look into a little bit more tomorrow, that that's one of the issues at hand. The Rishonim saying that it's chatzer as opposed, to Agav, because Agav is an example of something which is a Kenyan, but it's not a Kenyan that involves bringing it to her. So some Kenyanim overlap with the physical act of giving, and some Kenyanim are just symbolic without that. So Agav seems to be an example. It's something that does not involve physically moving the get into her hand. So where does that fit? So we'll see, there's somewhat of a debate among the Achronim who spoke about this, that maybe that is an afkamina. Maybe that's not going to be called a transferring of the get. Or maybe it is, and maybe there's another way to interpret it. The other major kind of battleground source here to be aware of, and we'll also analyze this tomorrow, is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that I gave you to look at talks about if a get was written on the horn of a cow, and then the act of Meshicha, essentially, if you're leading the cow on a lead, on a rein, what's it called, on a strap, so would that constitute a transferring of the get? So that also was a battleground source, as we'll see. That there, some read that Yerushalmi to be saying that that's exactly our question. And that Yerushalmi ends up being unresolved. So is that the point? And we'll see if there are other ways to read it. But that's indeed, so for example, how Rav Shlomo Eger understood it, that that is essentially what the Yerushalmi is basically black on white asking. If you have other kinyanim for transferring a get, would that be effective? Even though they're effective for transferring property, is that enough to qualify for the Nesina of a get? Now, we'll also see today, tomorrow, so to give some more coming attractions, that Rav Shlomo Eger's father, the great Rav Akiva Eger, is very associated with a tremendous chumrah. I mean, not a tremendous, I mean, it's a tremendous chumrah if it doesn't happen, but, and it affects the way getting are given today, that emphasizes that the requirement of the yada could actually be much more literal than a Kenyan, and that that may actually affect the physical realities of how a get should be handed to a woman, while for the purposes of Kenyanim, it would be much simpler. I just gave you an item and said, this is yours, that would be valid as a Kenyan, but it could be that the standard for transferring a get is much stricter than that, because of what the Yada could mean, literally, And this was also a major battleground as well. So those are some coming attractions for tomorrow. Just to quickly recap, so we're trying to take our conceptual issues and now bring them into practical, having seen that the relationship between Kinyan and Asina is complicated, maybe not even there, or at best complicated. So what does that mean for how we actually transfer a get? So what if you have a Kinyan that is not actually the physical act of Asina? So would that work? And some of the sources we saw that are used to argue this point back and forth, the Gemara here, the Bavli, about a man who was advised to transfer a get to his wife by using property. Rishonim seeming to feel a need to say that it's not Kinyan Agav, but rather it's Chatzer, and also not Kinyan Chatzer, but Get Chatzer. And the Yerushalmi, which brings this case of Mashicha by a get that's written on the horn of a cow, and the question of, is that basically unresolved, that unresolved issue, basically this question, and that we'll see was a topic of debate. And then we'll see also how Keith Eger and others are connected to a very significant Chumrah that comes from seeing the get transfer as not about Kinyan, but about Nesina V'Yada, and what that would mean practically. All right, so look forward tomorrow to filling that in, and there's some very significant stuff.